You are listening to Go Deeper, the podcast of Deeper Life Bible Church in Atlanta, Georgia. We hope the following message connects you with God, strengthens you in your fellowship with Him, and helps you fulfill His purposes for your life. The following message is delivered by Pastor Winga Omotesho.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm ready for the word. I'm ready for the word. And the Lord is going to speak to my heart. I will not be the same again. Because of the word, I will accept the word. I will receive the word. And the word will work powerfully within me. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We bless your name because you have brought us and you have your word for us at this time. We yield to your spirit and we ask that which you have for us, that you will make manifest unto us in Jesus' name. Unveil the truth to us, reveal your mind to us, and help us, Lord, to not only hear, but to follow through on your word and become doers, partakers, and doers of the word in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you've answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. I want to speak today on something very important. It's something that sometimes people don't pay attention to. And it's something that sometimes people pay attention to, but they don't really focus on it. And it's very important to focus on this because this touches the heart of the Lord. And it determines how much of the benefits of the Lord we also get. This is indispensable. Somebody shout indispensable. And because it's indispensable, you want to pay attention. And your attention to this is expected. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, Silas, and Timotheus, Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, amen, and peace, amen, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know that what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread about, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. As we look at the verses that we have read, you find here Paul, Silas, and Timothy writing to the church of the Thessalonians. And this was a church in God. This was a church in the Father. This was the church in the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it says, grace be unto you He said, peace as well unto you. And he said, there's something to thank God for, because this was a saved church. This was a church that had that have had the impact of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This was a church that have transformation. They've had transformation in their lives. That's why he said, you turned from serving idols, and now you're serving the living and the true God. And then he tells us here that this was a church elected of God. No doubt it was a converted church. A converted church. The people were converted. The people had experience with God. The people had transformation of life. The old was old. The new is new. The things they used to do, they were not doing anymore. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And then he says, because now they have become new, they become transformed. And because they're transformed, they also became followers of the people of the apostle, and those that give them the word of life, they became followers of the way of truth and of the Lord. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. What does that mean? They looked at the apostles before them, and they saw the life of God in them. They were the immediate examples that they saw. And then they looked at our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you became followers of us, and then of the Lord. Because the apostles themselves followed the Lord, it was easy for them also to follow the apostles as well as the Lord. And he said, they received the word in much affliction. It was not cheap faith. Their faith was not a cheap faith. There are many people today, they carry about cheap faith. The faith that will not hold at a time of challenges. The faith that will not hold at a time of persecution. The faith that will not stand at a time of ridicule. The faith that will not stand when the enemy of the gospel comes and says, are you a Christian? That kind of cheap faith. He says, it was faith you received in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. The abiding presence of the Spirit was there. They have real experience with God. And then he said, because of that, the impact of the word, the influence of the word, the import of the word, you become now examples of all that believe. Think about that. They didn't just become examples of a small area. They became examples of all that believe in Macedonia. Their influence of the gospel in their life was great and ecstatic. It was an important, undeniable influence. It was an influence that was superb. And that's what God wants us to have, that the gospel must have so influenced our lives that people that see us, they will say, they may have not read the word, but they see the lives of people that have been impacted, and they can say, these are people impacted by the word. And so they became examples, that they became examples to them, all the people in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 8, and then he talks about the word of the Lord sounding out from them, and he says, they turned from the living God and now to serve, they turned from the idols to serve the living God. That's why I want to speak to you on something very important. I've titled this Saved to Serve. Saved to Serve. When you're born again, you're not born again to just now say, I'm enjoying the fact that I'm born again. What are you doing for God? How are you serving the Lord? And the Lord wants us to understand that we are saved for a purpose. Say it out loud. I'm saved for a purpose. I'm saved to serve. That's the way of faith. And the Lord wants us to be people that are saved to serve. It's clearly revealed in scriptures, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that God calls, and after he calls and saves us, we are saved to serve. In fact, you'll see that from the beginning. As you look at Exodus, the Lord said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Not that they go and then they go to doing things and into the business of their lives. Let them go that they may serve me. He said, Israel is my firstborn. Israel is my son. And Israel has got to go tell that Pharaoh, he cannot hold them down. I've got to deliver Israel, because there is a purpose for Israel. Say it out loud. There is a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for my life. Say it one more time. And And so he said, Israel is my firstborn. Let them go. If you will not let them go, there will be problem. And so we are saved to serve. He brought them out of Egypt so they could serve him. So they could honor him. So they could worship him. So they could glorify him. And the same thing, when we are saved to serve. Here you find a woman. Here the woman of Samaria. Jesus met that woman. And as Jesus spoke to that woman that had many husbands already, and Jesus gave her the word of life, the water of life, and she got converted, and the woman therefore left her water pot and then went back and said, come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Saved to serve. And that's what God is calling us to. Three quick points. Number one, our call to acceptable service. Our call to acceptable service. God is calling us to acceptable service. You know, that means something, that there are services that may not be accepted by God. There are services that may not be approved of God. There are services that may not be appreciated by God. But there is a call to acceptable service in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We got born again. We receive the kingdom. The Bible says, except a man be born of God, born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And then he cannot even enter the kingdom. We're receiving the kingdom, a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have what? Grace. Shout that word. Grace. You see, grace does not mean that then we do anything anyhow. It says, let's have grace whereby we may serve God how? Acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. That's why our call to acceptable service. So we can serve God acceptably, because that's the service that brings blessings into our lives. Number one, there's the command to serve God. You must see that as a command, that it's not just an option. You don't say, well, if I like, I serve God. If I don't, I don't serve God. As long as I'm born again, I can sit on my rocking chair and do whatever I want. It says there's nothing like that. It's a command to serve the Lord. You find that in the Old Testament. You find that in the New Testament. John, come with me on a journey. Look at this in Deuteronomy. As you see the word of the Lord, that the Lord himself is commanded us to serve him, and to serve him wholeheartedly. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 13, it says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve what? Serve him, and shall swear by his name. Now, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord. That's the expectation of the Lord for us. There will be people who really, who truly serve him. And it tells us very clearly also. Look at this in verse 13 of chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. It says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I command you, I give you commandments, and you've got to adhere to them, hearken to them, obey them, and then love the Lord and serve him with all your heart. That's what God is expecting of us, that we'll be people that truly understand the value of salvation, that as we're saved to serve him and to serve him acceptably. That's the expectation of the Lord for us, that we'll be people who serve the Lord and serve him with all our heart. In Psalm 2, look at Psalm 2 here. Psalm number 2. And then look at verse 11 of Psalm 2. Here the word of the Lord tells us very clearly in Psalm 2. It says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Is that an opinion or a command? A command. Serve the Lord and serve him with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's the expectation of the Lord for us, that we will really serve the Lord and serve him with all our heart. In Matthew chapter 4, look at Matthew chapter 4, and then in verse 10, Matthew chapter 4, and in verse 10. Here, Jesus Christ was speaking here, and the devil had come to tempt him, and Jesus replied back, because you see, the devil wanted him to fall down and worship him. He showed him, it may beg for our help to see a few things here. Look at verse 8 again. The devil taketh him up. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up, and he took him up into an exceeding high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You see, that's what the devil uses to get some people. He shows them the glory of the world. He shows them the beauty of the world. He shows them some things that may appear flashy and may appear very shiny in the world. But he shows them that, and it brings before them some things that dazzle, but they are not real substance. And then, because of that, some people fall. And he did the same to our Lord Jesus Christ. He showed them this in verse 9 and says unto him, all these things will I give you. Think about that. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Are there people that the money is what takes them from the service of God? Are there people that it's money that takes them from their love for God? Are there people that the things of this world is what so clutters the word of God from their heart and chokes the word, the impact of the word from them? And are there people like that? He brought this temptation to our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. And what do you say? Get thee hence, what? Oh, you want to fall down to the world? No, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Everybody say, it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him, what's the next word? Only. You see, you don't serve God and mammon. You don't serve God and pleasure and the position and the positions of this world that will take you away from the kingdom of the Lord. He says, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came to minister unto him. The Lord has called us to serve him. It's very clear from the verses that we have read that there is the calling of the Lord to serve him. And we must be very conscious that God himself has called us to serve him. If you look at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 tells us also in Romans chapter 12, and then in verse 16 here, it says, we should be people that serve the Lord, and we give our heart to him. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, I meant to read. Romans 12, 11, not slothful in business, fervent in what? And then doing what? Serving the Lord. That's the expectation of the Lord for us. And we've got to be conscious of this. You know, Apostle Paul said, the God whom I serve. He knew he belonged to the Lord. He knew that you couldn't mistake him for somebody else. He was really a servant of God. In Acts chapter 27. Look at this in verse 23. Acts 27. And then in verse 23. It says here, Apostle Paul was speaking. It says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. And what? You know, some people, they only stay with whose I am. I know who I am. I know what God has made me. I know who I am in Christ. But then I say, are you serving him as well? Look at what the apostle said. He said, I belong to God, whose I am and whom I serve. That this is undeniable. God can attest to this, that I don't just belong to him alone, but I serve him. I'm his ambassador. I belong to him, and I run errands for him. I don't run errands for Satan. I don't run errands for the enemies of the gospel. I belong to him, and I run errands for him. Thus, we must be conscious of that we're servants of God. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're not too captivated by the things that are going on, that we forget ourselves as being people that serve the Lord. We must remember that this is where we belong, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. When you look at Daniel was very conscious of this, that he was a servant of the Lord. It was a distinctive feature in the life of Daniel. You could still tell that Daniel was a servant of God. In fact, people could tell that this was a servant of God. In Daniel chapter 6, and look at verse 16. Daniel, turn your open to the verses of scriptures, because this is important for you. Daniel chapter 6, and then I want you to see here from verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Daniel 6, 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou, what? Whom thou serve, is that the end? Continually. This was a man that even the king could tell. You see, Daniel was, as you look at this story, Daniel in from verse 1, it was preferred before presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found in him. Therefore, the king sought to set him above the entire realm. And he must have been a busy man to be a president, and you have so many princes. This was a busy man. And yet, is being busy would not take away from him serving the Lord. The king knew that this man was a servant of God. And the same thing it must be for us. In your school, it must be clear that you serve God. At work, it must be clear that you serve God. You're not like a chameleon that you behave like the world around you. You are a person that is very clear where you stand. If there are things going on, they can always say, we know. It cannot be part of that. She cannot be part of her, because we know she serves the Lord. That's the expectation of the Lord. But that's not the end. Look at this in verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of what? See, even the king realized that this was a servant of the living God. Servant of the living God. And that's what it must be for us. But that's not the end. Is thy God, whom thou serves, how? Continually able to deliver thee from the lions? What a question. And that man was shocked because he had a voice in the den of lions. A man that could not be eaten by lions. And Daniel then said, Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lion. And you see, God has not changed. And that angel is still alive. You know, angels don't die. That angel is still alive. And the angel that shut the mouth of lions on the behalf of Daniel will shut any lion's mouth on your behalf in Jesus' name. You must always remember that, because the angel will not die. Angels don't die. And the victory that they gave the people that have gone before us and the people that love God, as we follow on the same path, we will get the same big victory in Jesus' name. And our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is served the Lord. I am he amongst you as he that serveth. Point number two. As we go to point number two wants to deal with our consideration for acceptable service. What does God count as being acceptable service? Here, please look up here. Suppose you are at work. And at work, here you are at work. Your boss has told you a few things that you needed to do. And the things that your boss tells you to do, you don't do them. Another co-worker comes to you, a colleague comes to you, and he says, I know you have your own project, but can you please help me with my project? Because my project is important to me, and your boss has given you your own project, and your project has a timeline, and you were supposed to finish your project the following day. But then you didn't do it. Says my friends, my colleagues' project is very important, and you spent all your time helping your colleague to do his project. And then the boss calls you the following day and he says, this thing is due today and we must not miss it. We've promised them it must be delivered. And then you walk to your boss's office and you say, boss, here I am. And then the boss says, where is the project? He says, boss, you know, I must tell you the truth. I didn't do the work. My colleague came and he said he needed my help. What will your boss do? Will it be acceptable to your boss? No, sir. And the same thing, there are some things that we must, if our service will be acceptable to God, there are some things that are expected because God is the one that marks the script. And you want your service to be acceptable to him. And so you want to look at what are the things that make service to be acceptable to God. Because that's what brings the glory down. That's what makes the angels to be dispatched. That's what brings the power down. Our consideration for acceptable service unto the Lord. Already we saw Hebrews chapter 12, but it begs looking again. Let's look at that Hebrews chapter 12 and just look at that again, because that verse begs looking again in Hebrews chapter 12. And then look at this from verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, what verse? 28. Thank you. I see you following. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. Here he says very clearly unto us, Hebrews 12, 28. It says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Praise God, it's a kingdom that cannot be moved. You see, if you're not born again, why not? You need to come and be saved because this is a kingdom that cannot be moved. Look at Daniel. They said, anybody that prays will put him into the lion's den. And that Daniel could not be frightened by lions. That Daniel could not be frightened by the decrees of the unrighteous decree. He could not be frightened because this is a kingdom that cannot be moved. In fact, he had revelation because there was a Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. And Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and all the visions that Daniel saw and the glories of the Lord upon that man, prophetic insight that man had. He knew that the kingdom of this world will crumble and collapse, but he knew that the kingdom of heaven will never be moved. I pray that you will know that like you know your name. And when you know that, you will be steadfast and stable. Nothing will shake you. Nothing will move you. If that devil comes, it fails terribly, because the kingdom of the Lord will never be moved in Jesus' name. It says, let us have grace. Now that you know that the kingdom of the Lord will not be moved, now that you are steadfast and solid, you know you're on a solid foundation, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Read that one more time. Our God is a consuming fire. You see, many people don't hear that in churches today. They like places where they may jump and shout and do a lot of things. And it's so very shallow, very shallow. There's no depth of the word. And you cannot produce New Testament result with shallow messages. You cannot produce New Testament result with shallow preaching. That people don't get deep into the word of God. It says our God is what? You cannot produce rapture-ready people with shallow messages. It takes people that understand that God is a consuming fire. Not just that God is a God of love. Of course, God is love. But it's also a consuming fire. It takes the balance of scriptures to produce people that will be ready for the coming of the Lord. And so we must remember that. We must consider, therefore, what does it mean to serve God acceptably? I'm going to take you on a journey. Look at the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us that we are supposed to serve the Lord and to serve him with gladness. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. How many of you were glad that you were coming to the house of God today? In Psalm 100 verse 2. You see, if you are coming to the house of God and says, oh, I'm coming again. I don't know why I'm coming. That's already your field. That verse, Psalm 100. Look at this in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Serve the Lord with what? Let it be, you must be excited coming to the house of God. Not that, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. There must be excitement in your heart. And there must be, and when there's excitement in your heart, you notify your face too, so that there'll be excitement there. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's how we serve the Lord. We serve him with gladness. We come into his presence with singing. There must be a heart that really, that is gladdened, that is peaceful, that is joyful to come to serve the Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 74, it says that he will grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. We've been delivered out of the hand of our enemies. When we are born again, we're delivered from the hand of the devil. Anybody here still under the hand of the, in the hand of the enemy? Anybody here still terrified and terrorized by the devil? It says, when we are born again, it will grant us that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him how? How? Without fear. There's no fear in your heart that if I say this, the people at work will look at me and say, wait, this person is weird. There's no fear in your heart that, you know, sometimes on Sunday, on Mondays when you get back to work, they say, how was your weekend? I say, yes, weekend was fine. What did you do? You say other things, you don't say, I was in church. If they ask you, how was your weekend? It was wonderful, I was in church. Some people can't say that because they're afraid that this is a church man. How will my friends look? It says we might serve him how? How? Without fear. Without fear. Are you afraid to be the child of God? Anybody ashamed to be a child of God here? No, because you are not ashamed of your God. Because you are not ashamed of heaven. You serve him how? Without fear. Without fear in holiness and righteousness. Those are two beautiful words. Holiness and righteousness. Shout those two words for me, please. In holiness and righteousness before him, how? How? All the days of our life. Because you see, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so we serve him without fear. We serve him with gladness. We serve him without fear. And we follow his steps. That's what it means that we are serving him. In John, look at John. John chapter, look at this in chapter 12. John chapter 12. And then see the word of the Lord. John chapter 12. And then in verse 26, John 12, 26, if any man serve me, let him do what? Aha. You see, there are some people that say, I'm serving God. I say, but this is what God's word says. Follow it. Oh, I don't think I want to follow that. Jesus says, you're not serving him. You see, we must come to consider God's word. If any man serve me, let him. That means you won't pick and choose the word. You will not only like, you won't pick the ones you like. This one is on faith, the subject of faith, and the dynamics of faith, and the power of faith, and the possibilities of faith, and what God can do when we believe. You like that. But then when it comes to holiness and really living for God and pleasing the Lord, that one I don't understand. If you say that, you're not following the Lord and you're not serving the Lord. He says, if any man, and these are the words of our Savior, the Immaculate Son of God, the personification of the truth. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him do what? Follow me. That means you follow the Lord. Whatever he will not do, you will not do. Whatever he will not, wherever he will not go, you will not go. You will not say, well, I know better. You will not say, well, you know, the scriptures was written, this, as you look at the complete canon of scriptures, this were written many thousands of years ago. And how are we sure that they're still relevant? They may be dated by now. He says, you won't think like that. If any man serve me, let him follow me. We'll follow the Lord. And then he tells us, and where I am, there also shall my servant That means if you're going to get to heaven, you've got to follow him. There's no other way. And then it says there, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Look at the word of the Lord is very clear. That we must therefore serve the Lord with some considerations of what it means to serve him acceptably. What it means to glorify him in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And then look at the word of the Lord in Acts chapter 20. And see verse 19. Acts chapter 20. Here the word of the Lord tells us, serving the Lord. Why don't we read from verse 17? And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord, how? With all humility of mind. You see, that's how our service will be acceptable. You don't serve God with pride. You don't serve God as though I am this. In fact, you know, there are some people, the way they do things, it's like God is so fortunate to have them come into the kingdom. God is so fortunate. God is so fortunate that their children of God perish that thought. Perish it. Because you see, God can do without us, but we need him. It's very important to always remember that. It says we serve God with all humility. Humility. Humility in our hearts. That you look at yourself, you say, but for his grace, I wouldn't be here. I am what I am. By what? By the grace of God. And you cherish that. You love that. And you appreciate that. Like Apostle Paul, you always want to just remember that it's the grace of God that has brought you to where you are today. And that will help you to always live right. That will help you not to misbehave as well. That will help you to always want to please God. You say, look at where I am. It's by the grace of God. Whatever he tells me to do, I will do it. You will not argue with scriptures when you understand that I am what I am by the grace of God. It's very important that we have this concept. If our service to God will be acceptable, we are always coming with all humility of mind, serving the Lord with humility of mind. All, you see that? All humility. There is no place in your heart that there is no humility. All humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. That's the divine expectation for us, and the grace of God that we need to be able to serve him with humility, the Lord will give us in Jesus' name. Now, in Joshua, look at Joshua, and let's see another consideration, another thing to consider for our service to be acceptable before the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, and then I'm going to read from verse 14, Joshua 24, what verse? 14, thank you. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him how? And... you see, there are people some people are very deceptive in their service, like the sycophant we saw that thought he was going to do David a favor by telling him about the death of Saul. It's to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Now, here you are, you went to the store. And as you went to the store, somebody shows you, you're trying to buy a particular product. And this product, it says, well, you know, I'm showing you these two. There are two products here, the same product, but made by two different manufacturers. It says one of them is original. One of them really will last you for 25 years. But the other one, it will last you just for 2 weeks. But the price is different. One of them costs maybe $20. Another one costs $100. And it says, really, one costs $20 and the other one costs $150. It says, which of them do you want to pick? This one is original. The other is fake. How many people will like fake here? You like fake? Nobody. How many of us will like the original? Praise the Lord. It says, serve him with the originality of your heart. Let your heart be sincere. There's nothing you are hiding. There's nothing that you are trying to play who you are not. Serve the Lord with sincerity, in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which are your fathers, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you think, well, Why should I serve God? With all that he has done for you, he brought you out of Egypt when you are under Egyptian bondage. If that is not enough for you to say, look at what God did for us. We were in Egypt for so long, and God in his mercy brought us out. And you cannot be grateful based on that and serve God. If it seems evil in your heart unto you to serve God, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Joshua said, as for me. But he said, see, I make my mind false, but I must influence my family and my house to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will do what? Serve the Lord. And as you serve him, you will enjoy the blessings of service in Jesus' name. That's what the Lord wants us to do, to serve him and to serve him with all our heart. In 1 Samuel, look at this, and then we'll move on to the third point for Samuel, and see something from the word of the Lord here. You see, we must consider the service that is acceptable in the sight of God so that we can get the blessings that God himself has given unto us. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider, did you see that? For consider how great things he has done for you. When you look at how God, all great things God has done for you, here you are. Many people died in 2018, you are in 2019. How great things God has done for you. Already the month of January is come and gone, and some people are no longer here, are no longer alive, but you are still alive. What a great privilege to do what? To serve the Lord. And then you think about the many things he's doing for you every day. Those should motivate you to serve the Lord. And we will serve him in Jesus' name. I said, we'll serve him in Jesus' name. Point number three, a compensation for acceptable service. You see, when you truly serve the Lord acceptably, and you serve the Lord with all your heart, and you serve him in sincerity and in truth, and you serve him with no hidden agenda, and you serve the Lord wholeheartedly, and you serve him with gladness, and you serve him with all continually, like we saw before, and you serve him with no strings attached, there are things God will do, a compensation for serving the Lord. You know, I think about even in the natural. Here you find somebody that has been working in a place, and this person has really worked very hard, well, and has worked hard, and the people, they saw the work, then they compensate the person. God knows our service. I said, God knows our service. You see, when you know that, he helps you. In Revelations chapter 2, Revelations, and you know, God can read motives. God can see the hearts. What even people cannot see, God can see. And that's why, when you know that, it's important for you to realize that God knows when we are truly serving him. Revelation chapter 2. And I read from verse 18. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, this thing saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire. He can see. He can see very deep. He can see. He can see through. He can cut through the clutters and just see. It says his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. And so it's important for us to know that God sees when we serve. Even when no man sees, God sees. And when you realize that, you don't say, well, I've been serving, and nobody appears to acknowledge what I'm doing. God knows. And he will acknowledge and compense and recompense you and compensate you in Jesus' name. I said he will do that. You know, when you think about Mordecai, the good deed of Mordecai was forgotten. But then the king could not sleep. He could not sleep because the time for his reward had come. And then it says, it came like this. He came and he said, Haman came in and he said, what should we do for the person that the king wants to honor? And Haman thought it was for him. It says, do this. It says, go and do that for Mordecai. The time of his remembrance had come. And you see, whatever you do for the Lord, remember God is watching. And when you do it faithfully, he will reward you in Jesus' name. Serve the Lord. Serve him in evangelism. Serve him in the work you do in the house of God. Serve him all the different areas of work we have in the church. Serve the Lord. And if you're not yet a worker, why not? Why don't you just want to be somebody that will give your time and yield your time to serve God more? You see, God sees when we serve, and that means he sees when we don't serve, doesn't he? He does. And so it's important for you to serve the Lord. In Exodus chapter 23, I want you to see the word of the Lord here in Exodus chapter 23, and then see verse 26. Exodus chapter 23 from verse 25. Exodus 23 verse, what verse? 25. Thank you. And you shall serve the Lord your God. I want you to see something here. Suppose I just here I come and I say, suppose I just say, imagine now there was a Moses here. And Moses is reading this, for example, and Moses says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. And you shall serve the Lord your God. And you shall serve the Lord your God. It's pointing to you. And you all shall serve, those of you who are born again, and you shall serve the Lord your God. God is speaking that you will serve him. You will give your very best unto the Lord, and you shall serve the Lord your God. And what will happen? What will happen? You see, many people like to read that he shall bless you very quickly. They are excited to read that one. People can read blessing. They want blessing. Who doesn't want blessing here? People, who doesn't want blessing? Nobody doesn't want blessing. How many of us want blessing here? Ah, you see there. Even preacher will raise their hand too. He says, and you shall serve the Lord, and he shall bless thy bread. You see, the condition is what? Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Those who serve the Lord will be blessed by him. And he shall bless what? Thy bread. Even the common thing, what you call common, will be blessed. And he shall bless your bread. And he will bless what? Your water. The common water will be blessed by God. There is a difference. When you see, God always makes the difference between them that serve him and those who do not. He makes the difference between those who give themselves to him and those who do not. He always makes the difference. Let me show you something. Look at Malachi. We're coming back to this. Are you tired of reading this place of blessing? Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And then see this from the word of life. God's word is great. God's word will not fail. Malachi chapter 3. And then look at this in verse 14. Malachi chapter 3. What verse? 14. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. Do you know there are people that think so? It is vain to serve God. It is vain to pay tithe and offering. It is vain to do this. And God is hearing. It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? You know, there are some people that say, what's the profit of obeying God? It appears I see so and so that seems to obey God. How do you know? It appears I seem to see so and so that I obey God. And it doesn't appear that his life is to be desired. How do you know? You see, there are conditions for acceptable service. But then it tells us that it is vain to serve the Lord. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and we have walked manfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, somebody is like a believer looking at the unbeliever. Says, I see this man. He doesn't appear to serve God. And see, it appears he's making a lot of progress. It's a short-term progress. And then look at this now. Look at this in verse 15 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord speak often one to another. They encouraged themselves. And the Lord hearkened and had it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord, and that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I will make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that does what? You will see the difference. It will show. You will see. You will see in time and you will see in eternity. Because on that final day, when Almighty God sits on his throne to judge, those who did not serve him in this world, where will they end up? You see, judgment will come on them. And so there will always be the difference. So don't you ever say, well, why serve him? It says, now back to Exodus 23:20-25. And you shall serve the Lord your God. I will serve the Lord my God. And he will bless my bread and my water. And will take sicknesses away from the midst of my midst. That's what God will do. It says he will take away sicknesses from the midst of thee. And it will take away sicknesses from our midst in Jesus' name. Whatever the disease of the Egyptian, it will take them away in Jesus' name. It reminds me about a story I had. This was something from, I think it was our GS that said it. And here was an usher with an hunchback. And this usher with an hunchback was not ashamed of the Lord. You know, some people would have said, well, how come I'm serving the Lord and there is an hunchback there? But then she continued to serve the Lord, and in her serving the Lord as an usher, like this, prayers was being made like this. And then, lo and behold, our sister's usher's hunchback disappeared. Because she was serving the Lord. And the Lord has promised, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That's what God will do. As you are faithful to him, before you know it like this, the problem is gone. Before you know it like this, before you even call, he said he will do what? I will answer. You will be amazed what God will do in Jesus' name. Verse 26 is for somebody here. I said verse 26 is for somebody here. There shall nothing cast their young. There will be no miscarriage. In Jesus' name. If you had seen a miscarriage before, that will be the last you have seen. I said that will be the last you have seen. Key into the word, and you will not be disappointed in Jesus' name. And then he says, none nor be barren in the land. Barrenness is cancelled. I said barrenness is cancelled. You believe the Lord and barrenness will be taken away in Jesus' name. Physical barrenness taken away. Spiritual barrenness taken away. That's the promise of God for you, and it will happen in Jesus' name. And you see, this all comes as we serve the Lord. And it says here, the number of your days I will... He will do what? That tells you and tells me that nothing will cut short our lives. When we follow the Lord, there are not enough demons in Atlanta. There are not enough demons in Gwinnett. There are not enough demons in Georgia. There are not enough demons in the US. There are not enough demons, maybe they traveled all the way from Africa against you. There are not enough demons. They say these ones are not enough, they're not strong enough. And then they dispatch them to come. There are not enough demons that will travel, that will conquer you in Jesus' name. The numbers of your day, he will. In Job 36, Job. Here is the word of life for you. The word of life for me. Say the word of life for me. Say the word of life for me. Look at the word of God at Job chapter 36. And then in verse 11. Job 36, what verse? 11. If they obey and serve him. You see the condition there? If they obey and serve him. If they obey and serve him. Brothers and sisters, please look up here. When somebody obeys the Lord, you see that person is what? What's another name you can call that person? A righteous person, isn't it? A holy person, isn't it? An obedient person to God is a holy person. If they obey and serve him. The reason is this. You will see the reason as I read the remaining part of this verse. If they obey and serve him, what shall happen? They shall spend their days in what? There are some people that think that prosperity and holiness are mutually exclusive. That if you're holy, then you cannot be prospered. If you're holy and righteous, then prosperity runs away from you. It says, if they obey and do what? If they are holy and they serve God, what will happen to them? That will be yours in Jesus' name. You see, let your amen be louder. It says you will spend your days. Brothers and sisters, please look up. This is important. You know, when you look at the way things are structured, here you find days, weeks, months, years. Why do we go to that level of granularity? To make sure that it is clear. Some things can happen in a year, but they may not happen in weeks. Some things can happen in weeks, but they may not happen in days. God says you are covered every day for prosperity. If they obey and serve him, what will happen? They will spend their days where? Now change your thinking. If you have been thinking too much towards poverty and you have attracted poverty to your life, we cut that in Jesus' name. We break the chain in Jesus' name. If they obey and serve him, thank God I'm obedient and I'm serving the Lord. What should I expect? What should I expect? Now, again, look up here. Suppose here is it, when there is a night, what should follow the night? Day. When there is a Sunday, what should follow Sunday? When there is a Monday, what should follow Monday? When there's obedience and service to God, what should follow? It's as simple as that. If they obey and serve him, I pick the man called Abraham. Abraham, here, let's interview, bring you to the stage, sir. And so Father Abraham stands. Can I talk to you a little bit and give you an interview? Did you obey the Lord? I did. I followed through. Did you serve him? Oh, yes. When you find me, I move from place to place. I raise up an altar. And I served him. And then tell me about your life. Were you prospered? Oh, is this son? I was abundantly prospered. Thank you, sir. You can go. And then I invite Brother Job. I say, Job, sir, a little interview for you. Just a minute of interview. Here we are wanting to learn from scriptures. And we have read this from your book, the book of Job. Did you obey the Lord? Oh, yes, I obeyed the Lord. Did you serve the Lord? Yes, I served the Lord. In fact, I was a righteous man. What became of your life? Were you prospered? Didn't you read from Job chapter 1? Didn't you read the end of my life? I don't need to tell you more. I was prospered. If they obey and serve me, what will happen? And then their years in what? in distress, under pressure. It's like they're in a pressure cooker. No, they will spend their years in. Their years in. Your years in. Our compensation for acceptable service. I want you to rise on your feet and commit yourself. And really serve the Lord and give your very heart to God and rededicate yourself. Nothing will take you away from serving God. If you're not a worker yet, why not? You want to really serve God. There's a lot of work to be done. There are souls to reach. There are sinners to get converted. And Jesus is looking for laborers. Those who will serve him with all their heart. Who will give their time over unto God. If they obey and serve him. Lord, I will serve you. And I will serve you continually. I will serve you steadfastly. I will not allow anything to hinder me from serving you. I will give my very best to you. Like Job, in spite of the challenges, he still gave his best. Like Abraham, in spite of the challenges, he still gave his best. I will give my best even when nobody appears to have seen it. Even when nobody appears to appreciate it. I will give the best because I know you see. Because I know you see, commit yourself to the Lord. If they obey and serve him, blessed is the man. Yes, that's the word of the Lord. And you will serve the Lord, and he will bless your bread, he will bless your water, and he will take sicknesses from the midst of you. The number of your days he will fulfill. That's what God will do. That's what God will do. That's what God will do. Commit yourself. You're saved to serve the Lord. You're saved to serve him. Serve him at work. Serve him at home. Serve him in the marketplace. Serve him everywhere you find yourself. Don't take vacation from serving the Lord in holiness and in righteousness. Be faithful to the very end. Yield to God and you will be amazed what he will do with your life. This your life will shine for his glory. His glory will be mighty over your life. His power will be mighty over your life. The Lord will surprise you if you obey and serve him. Commit yourself and you will discover that your God is more than enough. Lord, I will serve you in sincerity and truth. I will serve you with gladness. I will serve you with joy. I will serve you consistently. And I know you're faithful to your word. The integrity of God's word is there. He watches over his word to perform it. If you're not born again yet, why are you not born again? Be born again to the Jesus died on the cross for you. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Turn away from your sins. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then a change, unforgettable change will come. That's what God will do. I will obey. I will serve him. I will give my best and his name will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, I prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, if you're not born again, why don't you get born again today? I want you to talk to the Lord yourself. Just, if you're not born again, Lord, I repent of my sins. Forgive my evil ways. Now I make a change. I want to serve you. I want to hand over myself to you, that you become the Lord of my life. And he will do it. He will break the power of canceled sin. He will break the chain of evil. And you will be set free immediately, instantaneously. That's what God will do for you. Talk to the Lord. I'm going to pray for you if you're doing that today. And all your sins, though many, will be washed away, will be wiped away, will be cleansed away, and your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that are giving their hearts to you and they really want to repent and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, as they're making that decision, forgive them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray, break the power of canceled sins from their lives now in Jesus' name. And give them grace to serve you acceptably in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, for every one of us here, you've shown us that we are saved to serve, and we're to serve you acceptably. I'm asking that the grace to serve acceptably, Lord, give unto us in Jesus' name. We'll receive that grace now in Jesus' name. And Lord, the blessings that you have promised for those who serve you, Lord, I pray those blessings will flow into the lives of your people in Jesus' name. The barrenness over there, I command you, come out in Jesus' name. I pray that, Lord, you will visit your people. You will bless their bread and their water. You will turn their situations around in Jesus' name. Whatever they have lacked, their lives have been barren. The Bible says there shall not be barren over there. Whatever has been barren, their barrenness, physical barrenness, barrenness in the place of work, barrenness in their spiritual life, barrenness even with respect to a child, barrenness even with respect to their lives, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, we cancel that in Jesus' name. Turn your people around. Turn their situations around. Let your glory fill the lives of your people. And let your blessings rest upon your people as we serve you acceptably in Jesus' name. That our days will be spent in prosperity and our years in pleasures in Jesus' name. Glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. God bless you. The meeting is over.
Thank you for listening to this message from Deeper Life Bible Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information about our church, you can visit us on Facebook or contact us by phone at 404-219-9598.